Please, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Because we are very closed and very small group, or most of the youth are in the cottage of St. George for the Mahragan El Tirozo, and some have tournament in the Osdam, and the rest are at home, and you are now here. Thank you. So I prefer to make it tonight, a discussion about the gospel of tonight. Why do I say that? Actually, we need to hear from each other, not to make it lecture. Let it be like a discussion meeting. This is number one. Number two, it's very important, 2 weeks today, I mean tonight and tomorrow, and next week as well. They are the last 2 weeks in the Coptic year. And in the last 2 years of the Coptic year, you can open Luke 17, 20 to Paul. I'm talking to you. You can open Paul 17, 20 to the end of the chapter. So this is the first point about the importance of the topics of these 2 weeks, tonight, tomorrow, and next week. And all the readings are concentrating on the signs of the end and the beginning. The signs of the end of the world and beginning of the eternal life in heavens. They are together, they are linked together. We cannot separate one another. We cannot separate them. They must be together. Why? Because if we separate them, then we will ignore some important facts. Number one, fact number one, the end of the life in this world means automatically beginning to the eternal life. Otherwise, we will be like the other creation, animals or birds or trees or whatever, have end but not eternal life. This is number one. Fact number two, the life, the second life, the eternal life, will be according to the life that we live now until the end. It's very important to know that the end of our life here, which is the separation between the spirit and the body, or the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ while we are still here, supposedly he may come right now while we are speaking. So most of the people who are in the paradise of joy now, or God forbid, in the Hades, so they will come. And we also will go to join them together. Fact number three, that there is an eternal life. And those who ignore that, or deny that, or refuse that, they will be in trouble. One day, an atheist doctor was speaking to a believer. And he said to him, the atheist said to him, to the believer, why do you bother yourself praying, fasting, preventing yourself from the amusements of this world and the pleasures of this world? Are you sure that there will be an eternal life? Why do bother yourself? Then the believer said to him, actually, I do believe that there is an eternal life. That's why I try to be as peaceful as pure, as spiritual as I can, through the help of my Lord. So if in case, when I die, I will not find any of that, I mean eternal life or heavenly Jerusalem or whatever, I did not lose anything. Yeah, but if you ignore that and you will be sudden that there is an eternal life and punishment, you will be the loser. You got the philosophy of the believer, the wisdom of the believer? So there is an eternal life, and we do believe in that. We do believe in that. And this subject was one of the important topics that the disciples were thinking of many times. That's why in chapter 17, verse 20, they started to ask him. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, later you will find that the disciples asked him, but he answered them in more details. Now, I stop and you begin. Let us read the chapter from 20, verse by verse. Whoever has a question or meditation or opinion, let us share together. Because it's a very good chance for me to hear from you. You always hear from me. And it is not right, not healthy for me. I want to take your opinion, your input, to learn from you also. Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. Who can comment? Dr. Samir.
What do you mean that you don't know exactly when the kingdom of God will arrive? So you know, that really, you just wait and see you. But it would be very easy.
Yeah, are you in?
To be always ready.
We don't know when.
Yeah, we have to be always ready.
Always ready.
It means that we have to be active. We can't be just watching. Like observation from an English perspective, I understand it's like in liturgy, if you're just watching, observing, if you are participating, praying, that's not observing. Here I see as observation is just you're just watching, waiting.
Exactly. For example, when you turn on the television and give your back to the television, you will not recognize or see, as Paul explained now, what's going on, what's being broadcast. Right? But observation here means look, when the moment comes, we'll go to it, when he, our Lord Jesus Christ, described that with the lightning. Comes and goes like the lightning. And this proves what Paul said. Not St. Paul, this St. Paul. So, observation here means to be watching, alert, looking at. Here is the observation. Probably this is one of the philosophy of praying towards the east. Yeah, why do we pray
towards the east, not like our brothers, the Muslims, towards the Mecca. No, we pray towards the east, observing the moment that he might come while we are praying, because he will come from the east. More than that, when we bury the body, we bury the feet towards at the east and the head at the west. Why? When he comes from here, the dead sits, the dead person sits and look towards the east, even for the dead people. When the spirit comes to be with the body, and immediately the dead people arise or awake, let us say, they will look towards the east. Do you understand that? Huh? Even when we pray on the dead body, the coffin must be the legs from this side and the head from the other side. The head is here, and the feet will be here. He put the legs, we put the legs of the body towards the heikal, and the head in the west. If the Lord comes during the ceremony of his burial, he will awake and see the Lord, who will come from the east. No, the priest is the same. Anyone, the priest, the patriarch, the bishop, any dead. So it's a side point, but it gives us how much does the church recognize the importance of the word observation. They will not determine, there will not be determined time for his coming. Get your Bible, Luke 17:20, and give Nabila also. Luke 17:20. Any other comment? Can you get the microphone, because I have problem in my ears. Getting old, thank God. I like that. I like to make a discussion tonight. Thank you.
I was just repeating what he was saying, and because we're emphasizing the observation, but here it says does not come with observation. So I think what Paul was saying was that if we're just watching, we're never going to see the kingdom of heaven, but we have to watch and do, and then it comes. So it adds on to the position facing east, but it also doing.
Yeah.
Doing.
Yeah. It's not only physical, but watching. That's why our Lord Jesus Christ said to us in many places. One of them was Matthew 25, the parable of the wise virgins and the foolish virgins. The conclusion is, watch then, because you don't know the hour. And also he repeated it to his disciples while he was praying at the last night. Every time he was, after the first service, he went to them and said, watch and pray, lest you will fall into temptation. Three times he asked them, watch here, meets observation. Watch, because there is no observation, no announcing or announcement of the time when he comes. 21. Nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. Wow. Luke 17:21.
Yes. I think that anyone can live the eternal life on earth. Like, eternal life can be lived on earth, not only in heaven. I think that's what he means by this. Within you, like, inside.
Again?
The eternal life, the kingdom of heaven, can be lived on earth as well.
Having?
Heaven
in us. Yeah.
Can be lived on earth as well. Like, we can experience the eternal life on earth, not only in heaven, if we want.
But what is the meaning of the kingdom of heavens or the kingdom of God is within you? What's the meaning of that? Yes?
The body of Jesus Christ.
By Jesus Christ.
Like the communion.
Yes, mm-hmm. By the Holy Spirit. But the kingdom of God, what is the kingdom of God?
Living God.
Yes, enthronement of God in my heart. He is, kingdom means there is a king. The word kingdom means there is a king. King means he rules, he governs. Yeah? He is the king. The kingdom of God means if the kingdom of God is within you, there is no kingdom without there is no kingdom without king. If the kingdom of God is within you, it means that the king himself dwells in you. You understand? He said, the kingdom of God is within you. So long the kingdom of God is within me, it means that the king himself is enthroned in my heart, and my heart has become his throne, or in another word, my heart, as St. Paul described, is Eifedi. He described it spiritually in Corinthians. Not throne, but not throne, but temple, yes. Temple. This is his throne. The throne of God is the temple. That's why the Lord, St. Paul said, don't you know that you are the temple of the Lord and the Holy Spirit dwells in you? He said it. We have become now in preparation time for the King of Kings to rule or to sit in my heart. And when the King sits in my heart, then I am the kingdom within me. Now, if the king is in my heart, whom must I listen to? Number one. whom must I adorn? Whom must I have relationship with him? And if the king is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God the Creator, whom I must worship? Ask yourself these four. If I worship God, I will never worship to any idol of the world. And all of us know that we live among idols. Yes, it is not a statue now to worship, but these are idols. And these idols, sometimes we adorn more than God. We obey more than God. We ask more than God. We seek more than God. Sometimes we worship more than God. You understand this word? This word is very deep. He said to them, the kingdom of God is within you. If I realize really that my heart is the temple of God, then the other part of the verse says, whoever reunes the temple of God, then God will reunite him. Why? Because the temple of God is holy, which is you. هيكل الله مقدس الذي أنتم هو. من يفسد هيكل الله فسيفسده الله. Whoever ruins the temple of God, then God will ruin him, destroy him. Because according to the dwelling of the Holy of Holies in my heart, then my heart has become and forever the temple of God. That's why in every prayer we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, the first litany, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom. How many times do I pray this prayer during every day? Thy kingdom come, not thy kingdom which will come when you come. It has become now in my heart. That's why the spiritual people are not afraid of death or have any concern of the difficulties or the problems of this world, simply because they feel that they are the temple of God, and simply because they feel that they are already living the kingdom of God while they are still in flesh. How about when this flesh changes forever into the flesh or the glorified body, like the body that the Lord arose from the tomb on the third day with. Halwadi, it's very, very deep. Very deep from the Bible, not from us. For indeed, look at the word, he insists. خدبالك, يعني, as if he is hammering on the words. For indeed the kingdom of God is within you. 22. Here. Good. Then he said to the disciples, the days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, look here or look there. Do not go after them or follow them. Comments. Mic. Microphone.
the kingdom of God is within you, then you know him, so you don't need anyone to tell you he is there or he is there.
Exactly. Exactly. You will not see it from outside because you live it from inside. You feel it. You feel it because he is in your heart. I must have this, not feeling, it's more than feel, this fact. I have to believe in this fact. I'm really the temple of God. I'm really the temple of God. What else? What else? Who is they? In verse 23, he said, they will say to you, they, who is they?
Those who don't know him. Those who don't know him.
Huh? All the world. All the world. There will be many false Christs. Yeah? To confuse the people. To betray the people, to let the people go far from the true God. They, please do not listen to they. And here they, the Lord put it indefinite, not definite. Not known, unknown, they unknown. He did not want to name them. They. Every they in this world, don't listen to. When he wants to lead you far away from your own kingdom in your heart, always ask your heart if there is any contradiction between what is within me and what do they say. Cut it. Don't negotiate. Don't accept. This is the way. Any other comment? Any other comment? 24. For as the lightning that flashes out of one part under heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. What does it mean? What this means?
He won't be back as a human being. He will be back as God.
Huh? Human. As God. Yeah. Yeah. In the glory. In his full glory. Aye.
It means that the kingdom of God can come any time, like
the lightning. Yeah. This is another meaning. What else? Yeah.
Does it also mean everyone will see it?
Bravo, Alec. Lightning here in one part and at the same time in the other part of the world. In the same time when he comes, he will cover the whole world. He will not come limited in Nazareth or Jerusalem or Bethlehem or Egypt like the lightning. You see the lightning everywhere. He will shine here and there. Everyone will see him. Everyone in the whole world will see. That's why I said Samir was right and you were right and every one of you was right. Lightning here means covers the whole world in 1 second. When he comes, everyone in the whole world will see him, because he will not come in the limited body. He will come in his glory. That's why he said, when he comes in his glory. In his glory means that ألوها مرة هقولها بالعربي وأقولها تاني مجده ملء كل الأرض. His glory fills the whole earth. His glory fills or is full in the whole earth. So you cannot say he is here or he is there. He will be everywhere. Not here or there, or east or west or north or south. He will be shown like the lightning in one. Ask Zuwail, he may say 1/100 of second. Dr. Zuwail, who divided the second into 100 parts. Yeah, sure. Dr. Ahmed Zuwail, the Egyptian scientist. You know that? The Egyptian scientist, Ahmed Zuwail, divided the second into 100 part of second. So there is now 1/100 second, 2/100 second, 3/100 second. The lightning is faster than that, faster than Zuwail or any other person in the whole world. It's nice. It's very nice. 25. He spoke about himself, right? Now he will start to speak about us. He described, he explained, how will he come? Now, how will be ready? Or how should do to be ready when he comes. 25. First, he must. He was here speaking about his cross. And then after that, what we do. In his cross, he said, but first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of God, man. Verse 25, the cross and the resurrection, the cross. Okay, he's suffering, his passions, for me, for you, for everyone, the whole world. Let us start with 26. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the days that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. He's explaining the meaning of observation. Life will go, and the Lord will leave, life goes. Whatever you want to do, do. Whatever you want to say, say.
however you want to live, live. Wherever wherever you want to go, go. And so on. The life is running. It's like the parable of the weed and wheat. He said, let the wheat grow and the wheat grow on the day of harvesting. On the day of harvesting, there will be the separation between wheat and wheat. Two examples, one after one. The example of Noah and the example of Lot. But St. Paul said a very, very important and beautiful verse. Gathering the two examples. Do you remember it? Sometimes we say it here. We went through the water and the fire, and you brought us out to rest. Water in the days of Noah, fire in the days of Lot. He saved Noah as he saved Lot. He saved Noah and his family, and he saved Lot and his family as well. So do not be in trouble when the water of this world flows high and high, when the sins spread all over the world, when the bad desires, when the bad behaviors, when denial of Christ, when the streams against Christianity, when persecutions happen, when terrorists becoming more stronger or threaten us, whatever, water or fire, be good cheer. The Lord will save us, will save us, so long we live truly in the kingdom of heaven, our kingdom of God in our hearts. Even so will it be the day when the Son of Man is revealed. God will save you like Noah. God will save you like Lot. But he will not stop the water. He will not stop the fire. The fire is still the fire. The water is still the water. The darkness is still the darkness. And the light is still the light. But which is more important is that the Lord looks at you as he looked at Noah and Lot, ready to save you as he saved Noah and Lot. Okay? Any comments? Any comments? Let us go ahead. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Are you on the top of the house? Or you are busy with your household downstairs. This is the meaning of the verse. If you are on the top of the house, when he comes, you will go up, leaving everything down.
If you are drowning downstairs in the household, the lightning will pass you without going. If you are in the field working hard, you will not go back. You will hurry forward, not backward, to him, to meet him. This is the meaning. This is the meaning of these verses. It's not something to be afraid of. On the contrary, it's something that encourages us. We want to be up the house. Even if we leave the household downstairs, we don't need it. We will not need it when he comes. And at the same time, if we are working hard, struggling in the field, we will not come back. And if we think of it trying to come back, it will be miserable. That's why he said after that, remember Lot's wife. If I take you out of the fire, if I take you out of the water, if I save you, do not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. What a beautiful words. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life will preserve it. This is yani confirmation to what we said before. I tell you, this is the last comment. I tell you, in that night there will be two men in one bed. The one will be taken and the other will be left. Two women while be grinding together. The one will be taken and the other left. Two men will be in the field. The one will be taken and the other left. You know the grinding in the past? You know that? The grinding, this grinder, two stone pieces, round pieces, and they put the seeds between them, and there are two hands here, and a woman here and a woman there. One turns 180 degrees and the other turns 180 degrees, and so they are helping together. From outside they are working, from outside they are equal. Two sleeping in one bed, from outside they are the same. But here is the difference in the heart, in the temple, in the throne of God, in the kingdom of God. This is the main difference between us. That's why we are all together. Some of us are wheat and some of us are weeds. God forbid. God forbid. Every one of us wants to be wheat, not weed. They answered and said to him, "Where, Lord?" So he said to them, the last verse is the most beautiful verse in the chapter. Wherever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Comments. Comments. You don't know? What does the eagle resemble? Eh?
power.
Is the ego good or bad? I'm taking this as this, the body of the bad person and the ego of the demons flying over that bad person.
What else?
Because the good people have death already.
There are four incorporeal beasts. Right? The first lion. The second eagle. The second eagle. The third bull or ox. And the fourth is man. Right? These are signs or resembling the four Gospels. And the eagle here is one of the very strong birds, right? And what is the body? Body of Christ. The eagles who are ready will go to the body of Christ on the day without delaying. Because they said to him, Where, Lord? He said to them, wherever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together. We will gather together around the body of Christ, the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God with his glorified body, the body of resurrection. And we will be gathering around him forever in the kingdom of heavens. Yes. That's why, Il-Gutha. But Il-Gutha here, he wants to put it, this is one of the words, That's why here he said the body, not the dead body. الجثة كأنها حاجة ميتة, as if dead body, not الجسد. But this translation is weak. This meaning is much more reasonable. He is speaking about the people who are ready in the field, grinding, here, there. They are ready, watching, observing, alert, waiting. When they see the body of Christ, the glorified of body of Jesus Christ, they will go like the eagles to him, not to eat, because already we ate his body here. But do not forget that the Lord said about one of the angels of the Asian churches, whoever wins will eat from the tree of life. What is the tree of life? Jesus Christ. That's why he prevented Adam and Eve from eating from the tree of life before the salvation. But after the salvation, we eat now from the... He guarded the tree of life with cherubim to prevent Adam and Eve from eating the tree of life while they are sinners, so as not to live forever in sin. But after he saved us and gave us his body of resurrection, now we are ready to eat from the tree of life. That's why the initiation of the Holy Communion as a sacrament
was after his rejection. No one ate from it except the disciples. The disciples at the same night of his passion and crucifixion. May the Lord encourage us tonight and for the end of our life to observe. That's why at the last 2 weeks of the Coptic year, the church wants to remind us, not to threaten us, warn, remind that we have to watch, because the kingdom of God will not go by a observation, or we will go without observation. Any comments? Thank you very much for your input. Glory be to God forever. Amen. Let us pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven.